Alt.
Alt NPR.
Bullpen Radio.
Love and Radio.
I was at the laundromat the other day. And that's not a good thing if you're trying to hook up. And if you're in your early 20s or something, it's fine. You've got your sweatshirt on and there's a girl putting her clothes into the dryer and you make eye contact like in the movies and you chat and you get a date and you like her tattoo of a beat on her left shoulder, something funky like that. But when you're in your 40s, being at the laundromat just spells loser. And I'm a loser. I was in there. It was about 100 degrees. Me and this older woman, she's kind of afraid of me because I'm looking weird. So I'm trying to smile and say a few things. And it's only making it worse. But I'm there. And I see this National Geographic. You know, they've got this stack of old dog-eared magazines that have been read 700 times, and a few religious tracts laying around, and auto sales magazines, and condo rental magazines, and do not attempt to wash your horse blanket. And I'm looking at this National Geographic, the chemistry of love, and I'm wondering why I'm freaking out so bad this time that I've been dumped again. Usually I can move along quickly, but I used to look better, and it was easier to meet a new gal, but now I can't get a second look. I'm fearful, I'm anxious, I'm insecure. I'm doubting my potency, all kinds of horrible late 40s men issues. And I'm reading this article, and it's saying that the chemicals triggered by the act of falling in love are almost identical to those of the mind of someone who suffers from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh, well, I want to hear your stalker story.
Yeah, I mean, the stalker story, I mean, I have got a fair amount of just crazy.
Okay.
But for this one, I might almost want my name to be anonymous on this one. I don't know. Maybe just Jesse A.
Okay.
Because...
And people who have been listening to the show won't notice that you've been on before and identified.
Well, I'm sure she will never find me, but I'm still petrified of this. Like, she's very, very... Very scary story, man. I mean, this is important. It was the most, in the history of my relationships, this was the most even-handed, most mutual breakup of all time. You have everyone say, oh, it was a mutual thing. Usually that's just a bunch of crap. This was sincerely her just being like, yeah, you're probably right. Maybe next semester when we have time, this would be good. And we just sincerely were like, fine, broke up, and it was cool. It was a year and 2 months after that when I came back to my room and it was covered in fruit. 10 bananas, apples all over the floor, oranges. I'd like be opening my drawer to go and start like writing a paper, and there'd just be a note inside of it that just had like a weird message that was like in Swedish. Things that were like Schlarsh, try, English bar, get it, China rose. I went to my friend sitting out, who got all this fruit in my room, and no one really knew what the hell was going on. So I started locking my room at that point.
One of the psych techs looked at me and she said, all right, you get the right arm, I'll get the left arm, and you two get the legs. And we just went for it. She was just like, started screaming. it's never, you know, they teach us in such a way that it's like, oh, you know, you do this and then you get them down on the ground. And it's like getting them down to the ground is kind of like a lot more steps involved. So it was like grabbed her arm and she's like fighting me with her arm. And, you know, she's 16, but she's very wiry and her adrenaline, I'm sure, was pumping so that she was just like putting out all kinds of energy. And so we just sort of grabbed her in any way that we could. And just turned her around onto the bed, and the needle, you know, goes right into her ass. And you pull her pants down and stuck the needle in her ass, and it takes 40 minutes for it to kick in. So we're sitting there with her, you know, my hand on her back and my arm on her, or my hand on her arm, with her, you know, my hand on her back and my arm on her back and my hand on her arm and my arm on her back and my hand on her back and my hand on her arm. And she's like, you know, fighting violently and everybody's like trying to get her situated, and she managed to turn around on the bed. So her head was kind of in between the ball and the bed. And so we tried to move her back onto the bed so it was a little bit more comfortable for us, because, you know, you can imagine us just sort of huddled around this girl. And all of a sudden, you know, she stopped sort of twitching and sort of gave up. But it was a good half an hour of just sitting there waiting for her, for these meds to kick in. It's really amazing how, you know, it, and I came from the same sort of bias that, you know, meds, what are they, you know, it's kind of fucked up that, you know, they're always prescribing meds, but some people just have this chemical imbalance and they don't realize that, or, you know, none of you realize it, and they just act out. But as soon as they have the right medication, they're fine. You know, they're normal. They're at their baseline is what they call it. They're at what, where they are normally supposed to be. And as far as circumstances goes, maybe it's because she just was on this mental institution and she was getting a little worked up, and, you know, you realize that you're locked on this floor and you don't have any way of like going out into the sunshine or anything. And it's just sort of fairly confusing time, I'm sure, for the patient, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. My family, just growing up, it was always like, you know, you're sick, you know, my dad would have his honey and whiskey concoction. You know, it was never like, oh, take, you know, this medication or stick this shit up your nose, or, you know, even if in terms of headaches, I was always kind of just like, whatever, I'll just, you know, Afrin, or what is that? What is the generic?
Take this line of coke.
Yeah, right. It was never like a big thing in my house, so I always sort of had this weird look on medication. And then especially being, you know, growing up in this time, and you start seeing all these medication commercials on TV, and like you read about the pharmaceutical companies being just horrible places, it's like, this is sucks. But for the most part, with people who are like psychologically just crazy, medication does work.
If they can only get Thorazine every 6 hours, and you've just given them this massive dose, it's only going to be good for 2 hours. And the final 4 hours before they can get another hit of Thorazine is going to be a living hell.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
You'd like that?
Intensely.
Yeah, The Exorcist came out both as a book and then it was made into a movie. And we saw some patients coming in. They were possessed. They came in and they were possessed. That was a trickle when the book was, but when it was made into a movie, then it was, floodgates were open. This was right at the time when, you know, there was an awful lot of LSDs just in the general population, particularly of young people. And so it got to be an epidemic. There were some times when we had 3-4 people at a time admitted who were, quote, possessed. But it was astonishing when you would get the history, usually from friends or relatives that would bring these people in, and you would find out, oh yeah, well, he dropped like 5 tabs of acid, you know, and then he went to, you know, a midnight showing of The Exorcist or some of that, and saw it like 4 times in a row, tripping the entire time on acid. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm surprised he's possessed. I mean, you know, hell, I would have thought I was possessed if I just, you know, saw the movie five times in a row without the acid.
Hello, Reagan.
Instead of sitting out watching the sunrise out in New Mexico and communing with God, you are instead tripping heavily for maybe 8, 12, 24 hours, and you are battling Satan. And that's all you see, and that's all you know.
Well, then let's introduce ourselves.
Is that ultimate pure evil is trying to seize your soul.
I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil.
You know, you would take these, you know, restraints, you'd attach them to their wrists and their ankles. They usually involve, this would involve a lot of people, because if you're doing that, there's a lot of kicking, screaming, fighting, punching, spitting, you know, going on, and so it would take several people. You can imagine it was sort of, you know, like trying to thread a needle while somebody is yanking and you know, punching at you. And so somebody would restrain a given limb. The other person would attach this cuff, and then the leather strap would go around and would be secured, you know, like with a lock, to the bed frame. And it would really secure you down, you would think. But one time after a huge struggle with a particularly psychotic person, and it was really difficult, and we had you know, them in six-point restraints, and it was just like this titanic battle just to get this done, and it took us a long time, and everyone was just exhausted. And we stepped back for that moment when it was finally, you know, safe for us to all let go. And honest to God, this very young, slight man who had been just shaking and quaking and struggling at these restraints and shouting and cursing and literally lifted up off the bed 2-3 inches, hangs there for, I cannot swear, I don't know how long, but I know everyone in the room sat and looked at it and basically levitated up. If it weren't for the fact that at the time I was a very lapsed, fallen away Catholic and probably about as agnostic atheist as I ever was in my entire life, and so my rational mind would not allow me to believe that they were really possessed. But I have to say, if there were any doubts in my mind about how right I was about that, those were the times. You're confronted for 8+ hours a day, every day, with challenges to your notion of what is real and what's sane and who's sane. And just by collecting your paycheck and walking out to the parking lot doesn't confirm your sense of reality. The common joke, like, you know, the common joke at the hospital, particularly at the end of the shift when you're leaving, the only difference between the patients and the staff is that we've got keys.
Alt, alt, alt. Alt.